It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, guys, welcome to a new episode of Five Aside with Soccer Takes with AK.
Soccer Takes with AK again. Hey, man, new location, bro.
New location.
Hey, new location vibes.
new takes, you know, new energy, everything brand new.
Yeah, good day. Everybody's feeling good, man. EPL is, I don't say it's back, but it's
we literally just had EPL.
Yeah, I was about EPL 2 days ago, man, but you know when you lose, you just want to...
move on
to play again, but man, everybody's good, man. Good day, everything looking good. Let's roll.
Anyway, the biggest thing that happened today was probably the World Cup.
Oh yeah, the World Cup draw, right?
World Cup draw. You know, coming from a Nigerian,
I'll let you have that one, bro.
You know, in school when they are. You are calling out.
I saw something on Twitter. Yeah, I mean on X. Someone said, "I'm waiting for the group they're gonna place Nigeria in today."
Why would you say? You know, like back then when you're in school and they're having like they're about to announce like let's say Dean's list and something. Like, you know that you're not in it.
Don't even try to even think of being there, bro.
That feeling, that was me today.
I'm like, bro. I mean, I don't know. Mm. It's just that, you know, how you lay your bed. That's just the perfect scenario. You feel me?
Like they have embarrassed us.
It doesn't get worse than this, man.
Running their mouth.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so. They have the right to do that. You know, we didn't do our homework properly. You know, waited last minute, always want to play calculator football every time. Yeah. You know, you have the players there, the quality is there. Go and win your match. Yes, you know the FA.
Let's leave Nigeria.
Yeah. So because I'm going to lose focus.
Let's preview the games for the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to Villa Park. Mm. That has never really been the... That's never been a great hunting ground for Gunners.
Yeah.
For a while. I mean, last season, I believe he won there, but it was not a win without its hiccups, because I still remember Claire's day, was it Callum Wilson? That was Villa striker, right?
Callum Wilson?
No. What is Villa striker? I keep mixing.
Are you talking about Holy Watkins?
Holy Watkins. Okay. You know, all of them are in the same genre.
Yeah.
Holy Watkins, I still remember his crazy miss. Hopefully, he continues in that form against Arsenal.
I don't think so, bro. He just got 2 goals, man, last match.
Hopefully, he doesn't even get a chance. Our defense doesn't have to stop him from even getting a sniff at goal.
Let's see.
But that is definitely going to be a tough game. And without my Gunners hat, I probably would have predicted a draw, like a 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
But given that I can't really take off the hat, I'll go for Arsenal 2-1. And I expect them to, you know, have their regular mid block, contest, maybe be physical. I don't think anybody, because even Brentford are trying to be physical against us.
Yeah.
Like we predicted, that's probably going to be the theme for teams going up against Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. They'll mid block their way to try to press us and make life difficult for us. Hopefully stop us from playing our game and winning many set pieces. Because, there's one thing, if you don't really stop us in midfield and we actually make our way into your 18 and start getting a lot of touches in your box. If we don't get chances through open play, we are going to get chances through the set piece.
True that.
So I know, I'm pretty sure Naeemri, who is a very, very good tactical coach, is going to try as much as possible not to have us like have that much joy in their own part of the half, because that's where, if you allow Arsenal play in your 18 or give us the opportunity to and space on the ball to actually get into your 18. Arsenal's team has the quality to hurt you one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they are going to try to stop it. But the question is if they can stop us from getting there. Chelsea, to a good level, kind of did. But I don't know. That's disrespectful. VR is third, right?
Kind of did. It's crazy.
So I was going to say, I don't know if VR can.
Kind of did. It's crazy.
The VR definitely has the quality to manage that. And they have so many times in the past. But we'll see. I would like to believe that the Arsenal now is not the same Arsenal from. It's a much better Arsenal than previous iterations.
Okay.
And if you could beat them last season, I feel like if we could beat them, I'll beat uncomfortably last season.
Okay.
I want to believe this Arsenal, even without Gabriel and Cole, can even do better. And maybe, who knows, make it a comfortable victory. Can you imagine? I basically done a whole 180. Went from, oh my God, it's going to be very hard, to say we win easy.
That's football for you, man.
But yeah, let me not be disrespectful. It's going to be a tough game. But I think we can edge it. Because VR, it's 8 out of 9, last 9?
They've won 8 out of 9, yeah.
That would be a tough game. Rodgers seems back to his best. Arguably, the starting 10 at the World Cup.
For England?
Yes.
Oh, that's a different conversation, okay.
Arguably. I think that's who Tommy Tuchel likes best. So he's on form, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it will be a good game, tough game. A lot of haters will have their eyes on that game, 100%. We know. You said you're going to be.
Okay.
But you know what? Those prayers will not be answered. Arsenal is going to win.
Yeah. All right. So. Fair enough. Okay. Aston Villa, Arsenal. If there's any team in. If someone tells me that Aston Villa did beat Arsenal 2-0, you won't be surprised. I won't be surprised. Let's keep it real.
Yeah, I won't be surprised.
You understand? Because I've seen this Aston Villa team that they've come from Paul Lambert, Dean Smith, Stevie G, and Unai Emery. You understand? Look at the trajectory and the growth they've had so far. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a team that Unai Emery has built over time. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's a lot more power.
There's actually power in that team. Yeah. There's synergy in that team. There's belief in, you know, between the coach and the players now, and it shows every season. Mm-hmm. I think it's his third season, if I'm correct. I don't know, but yeah. And the thing about this game is both teams are on form. Aston Villa 8 out of 9, they've won. Mm-hmm. Arsenal have not lost. I can't, at the fact, Arsenal's stats is very simple. Just say they've not lost the Premier League game to Liverpool. You understand? Yeah. The confidence is high in both teams. You understand? Despite the injury woes that Arsenal is having in the defense, Saliba out, Gabriel out, Mascara out. Mm-hmm. So it's leaving you with Incape and Timber
as the starting center backs.
But in spite of all that, like you saw your last game, yeah, you played Eze on the bench, Saka on the bench.
Very professional victory.
And then you guys came and still did the business, you understand, got the victory. But the beauty of this Aston Villa team is, if you look at their bench, they have a Champions League bench in that bench.
Yeah.
Malin, which is the highest goal scorer.
Malin, yeah.
Yeah, with 4 goals. They have Jadon Sancho on there. You understand? Mm-hmm. They have Bendia on there, who's like a super sub. He comes in and does his thing. You know, they have Lucas Digne, who I really like. I like him very much. A good fullback. Mm-hmm. You know, has the Premier League experience on there. So they have a good bench. And if you look at the midfield which they play with, they play with Kamara and Onana, mm-hmm. and there's good synergy between those two, because one knows when to sit, one knows when to move, one knows when to sit. Like, there's a good flow in, you know, when those two play together.
It's a good team.
You understand? And if you look at, apart from the fact that Martinez is doubtful for this game, because I know he didn't play last game. I think he was injured. They played at Mizzy Beast, wrong. Is it Beast? I don't know, Beast or whatever. I don't know his name. And they were looking kind of, I don't know, shaky behind the sticks. Mm-hmm. But you still have a good defense. Yeah. You know, Konsa, Pau Torres is pretty much solid. You know, Matikash, Maxine, you understand? And then he has that wonderful captain in Magin that's very, very energetic, runs literally everywhere. And the beauty of this game also is we are seeing an Aston Villa team with there's something up for grabs in this game, in that game.
Yeah, if they win,
it's
three
a
points.
6 points gap now. If they win that game, it's three gap. It's 3 points. I mean, mm-hmm. So there's an incentive there in the game, and you're going to Villa Park, which you know there's home advantage.
I don't think Emery has ever needed any kind of incentive to try and get one of us.
Oh, I mean, now. obviously, you understand. But now the players now, because I mean, think of, you know, even if they know that they won't go and challenge for the title, they know that. But they want to that once you have that buzz in the dressing room, for a couple of weeks, it helps you because no matter how bad you want to fall off in the season, you'll just probably fourth, fifth, sixth. You'll be within the Europe, you know, conversation. Yeah. So they want to. You can just tell they want to. And then from that game they played, from that last game, like I always tell people, you're as good as your last game. They came from 2 goals down and they won that game 4-3. That tells you about the mental character of this Aston Villa team. Oli Watkins now is back to his form, scoring 2 goals. You understand? So there's goals in that team. Oli Watkins is a striker I love so much because he's someone that will.
Where did he come away in the last game?
I think it was away to Brighton. You know, but
that was a great win.
They were Oli Watkins, like I said, he wants to stretch your defense. You know, and is I like him because I like the way he just plays in front of goal. You understand? And he's a proud striker, someone that wants to score. He doesn't want to come back and play with the team. He doesn't want to come and play half nine, half ten. He wants to play at the nine, and he wants to score. You know, so my question mark here is, this Arsenal defense that is now becoming question, not question in terms of are they conceding, but question in terms of personnel are dropping. Mm-hmm. You know, Gabriel has dropped, Saliba has dropped, Oscar has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Are they able enough to withstand, you know, what Aston Villa and Villa Park would, you know, would throw at them? But when I asked myself that question in preparing for this match, the answer was I've seen an Arsenal team that have gone to hostile territories and they've come out, I don't want to say on skate, but they've come out with something. Mm-hmm. You know, they went to Etihad, they came out with a point. They went to Newcastle, they won it known as St. James. They went to Stamford Bridge, they came out with a point. You know, even though you say 11-10, but if they didn't lose, you understand? That tells you that there's this doggedness and mental character also in this Arsenal team. You understand? So when you put all that together, that's just an element that's building up for a big game. It's the first kickoff of the day, you know, tomorrow. So it's a big game loading and stirring up. So
that always, you know, the first kickoff, what they say about the first kickoff of the day, always brings up surprising.
So
that's my worry.
Yeah.
And the surprising result there, I mean, even though neither of us were surprised to be winning sort of draws, the surprising result would be Arsenal losing. So that's the thing. When we talk about the omen, the really bad omen with the first game of the
week. Yeah, I know, but like I said, if I wake up and someone tell me that you guys lost to Aston Villa,
we'll not be surprised.
I won't be surprised, but
that adds to my nervousness, the nerves, because it's the first game of the season, game of the weekend. I mean,
true, and I feel and they've done it before. They've beaten you before. I think it was Emirates.
No, I think it's Villa Park. We've not been able to win in Villa Park.
Oh yeah,
for a while till last season.
But last
season beat them home and away.
Okay, but the thing is, they know how they have what it takes to beat you guys.
Of course,
they have what it takes to take out points from you guys.
This is 1-3.
You understand? Yeah. So, but in spite of all this, you have to, like I said, mentioned Arsenal's character in All-Star grounds, they always come out with the goods. They know, and the thing I love about this Arsenal team is they know how to, they know when to strike, they know when to conserve, they know, you know, they know when to pounce on you. And you can just tell that Arteta is getting matured now, week in, week out. You know, he knows when, okay, boys, it's time to just share the spoils here. Get your 1 point. Against Etihad, you know, okay, boys, against Sunderland. Yes, it was edgy, but he didn't lose
He's getting matured over time.
The experience now is showing.
People will be questioning his pragmatism sometimes, but it doesn't come. There's a method to the madness.
You're not
just going to. People keep criticizing you, forgetting this was a very, to an extent, naive manager in his first title season.
Yeah.
You saw him going gung-ho.
Yeah.
So now he knows how to measure the
attack. He knows how, yeah.
Take a measurement approach. That Chelsea people were kind of critiquing the approach after the red card, forgetting the fact that we had about 6 yellow cards.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, Chelsea had the momentum.
Yeah.
They were hungry.
Yeah.
They were pumped up.
Mm-hmm.
So people were thinking, like, why not, like, you know,
release the game.
Underestimating Chelsea that still had, like, Pedro Neto and guys that could run at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally,
because we were playing a transition in that game.
Yes, and we had someone that not as experienced as Miles Lewis Kelly playing left back.
Yeah.
Had on a yellow card as well. And the entire back had a yellow card.
Yeah, yeah.
So I that's what I was not mad about.
I mean,
sad.
You have to give the guys flowers.
Yeah, I was sad on paper. You guys had the red card. But then again, we had 6 yellow cards.
Yeah, but, you need to give Arteta his flowers, man.
Yeah.
You understand? You know, staying on top of the table till now, you don't buy it as Walmart.
Don't trophy, man.
You understand? But the thing is, like I was telling a friend of mine, like, look at the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
In which this Arsenal team is growing now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Look at the way they are playing now. You know, it's not they pick days when they want to play. And they pick days to be physical professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what a winning team will do for you. And now it's creeping in their DNA in the players' mindset. Listen,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I look at that tackle that Rice made against Chelsea,
mm-hmm.
I think Neto.
Yeah.
That is a tackle. That alone embodies what Arsenal is all about. Mm. We will not play well, but you will not win us. Mm. We're going to pick points here. We're going to pick 3 points here. Pick 1 point here. You know, and it's showing. And it's, you know. But I just feel that even though we know that Unai Emery's style of play is pretty much, I think it's a balanced, structural, flexible style of play. Mm. It's not overly aggressive on possession.
He's also someone that's also very,
you know, and like, they're very adaptable without the ball.
Yeah.
You know, with Kamara, Onana, and Magin with the energy on there, and they know that to play Arsenal, go them strength for strength.
Yeah.
You know, physical for physical. But I just feel like because of Arsenal experience over the season at St James, etc., and other places that they've been to, I actually see them winning this one.
So
I see Arsenal winning it.
What was your prediction?
It should be KG. It should be KG, but I'll say 2-1. It should be KG, but I'll say 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, but 2-1 is mine as well.
Yeah, but if I see another scoreline, like Aston Villa winning, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, neither of us be surprised. That's like a tough game. Anyway, let's move on to... Bournemouth versus Chelsea. Well, I'll be honest, the biggest theme for me in this match is who's going to respond from the little dropping. For Chelsea, it's maybe a little deep.
Yeah.
Because you guys were on form before, but you need a response because 3-1 to lead.
I think with Chelsea, it's not a little deep.
It's deep.
It's what you call it's not little, surprise deep.
Okay, it's a surprise deep. But Bournemouth have been on almost like a free fall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I expected it. I expected it,
their second in, I guess you call it regression to the
league. I expected it, yeah.
In October, now they've been on a free fall. So, Iraola and his boys are in need of response right now.
Yeah.
And this, in my opinion, this might be the game for it.
This is not the best time to play Raiola.
Yeah, this is not the best time to play Bournemouth. Neither is it the best time to play Chelsea.
This is the worst time to play Chelsea
because Chelsea also needs a response. And one thing they're very good is actually responding. They don't always, they're not like Man United, just like 3-0.
Yeah, in a row.
Yeah, they are the type of team to always do. One thing I'll guarantee you is that Chelsea are going to come out pumped up.
Yes.
So that, to me, is actually probably might be the tastiest fixture for the weekend.
Mm.
Not because these are two teams that are going to come out pumped up, try to win.
Yeah.
So they're not gonna want to settle for a draw. They need to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have it done as 2-2. I have done that as a 2-2. I know you didn't expect that.
I know you don't like Chelsea, but come on now.
I'll blow up your phone in your city tomorrow. Because it's going to be a great game. And I think this guy has not been impressing me a lot. I don't know why.
Well, oh.
Semenyo.
Semenyo, okay.
Yeah, I might actually put him on my FPL because he might want to impress. Maybe he wants just to buy him.
Nah.
So he's going to. I see him being an annoyance to Chelsea defense in that game as well. He specifically is going to be one to watch out for. But yeah, I one thing I know for sure is going to be a good game, and I'm going to watch that game. As if hopefully Arsenal can just win, so I can focus on watching Chelsea. But also, the defensive. Who do you think will be the defensive four? I mean, of course, Tosin is not going to be there. We all know that. Everybody, the Tosin self knows that.
For me, Bournemouth Chelsea, right? Yeah. If there's anybody you don't like you said, rightly so, you don't want to play right now is Iraola. Mm-hmm. Because apart from Chelsea, which I watch, mm-hmm. I watch Brighton also, but I also pay close attention to Bournemouth because Iraola mm-hmm. is a very, very, very good coach.
Yeah, he is.
You know, but I'm going to start by saying when you hear your coach coming out to own up to his mistakes, mm-hmm. coming out to explain the reason why he missed your decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good one to take. I know that all Chelsea fans were probably still, you know, riled up and, you know, pretty much rightly so mad. Yeah, I mean, Maresca press conference.
I have a question in regards to that.
What are you saying?
I have a question in regards to that.
Yeah, but what's your question?
Yeah, him coming out to say that, I agree with you. And mm-hmm. as a Chelsea fan, I might actually like that. But mm-hmm. if I think about from the other perspective, coming out to publicly, almost in a sense, I guess he has to explain yourself.
He didn't public or almost. I guess your question. Yeah. He threw him out under the bus.
Yeah, he threw him out under the bus. This is almost like this guy is not going to be part of my team going forward. That's why I see it as because.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you something. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think this was was he Arsenal or Manchester City? You know this Amazon thing they do. This Amazon documentary. Yeah. When it was Arteta, mm-hmm. I don't know it was when it was at Manchester or when it was at Arsenal.
Is it Aubameyang?
I don't know, but I know a player missed a clear-cut chance. Mm-hmm. It was a big. Your comment section should help me later on. But player missed a clear-cut chance, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having like a coaching conversation before the game and everything. And Arteta said he's a good player, but as a professional player, you don't miss that.
Was this in the press conference?
Yeah, no, it was in the
documentary.
Documentary, like I think it was Man City.
Okay.
When Arteta, Pep, and that guy were talking, I don't know who it was, but it was like as a pro player, you cannot miss that chance right there.
Yeah.
You understand? And he didn't play that game. My thing is, I like when Maresca comes out and speak like this. I like when he comes out and is honest, and then he explains his mistakes. Mm-hmm. You understand? And shout out to Saraya. She might not watch this. If she does, shout out to her because. Mm-hmm. Anytime I watch the press conference, she always asks Maresca proper, real tactical questions that we, the fans, want to hear from our coach. Mm-hmm. You understand? And he literally said he regrets that he didn't play Achimpong.
Yeah, that's one.
And if you notice in the review of the match, Leeds Chelsea, I told you that we could have played Achimpong. Why? Because Achimpong knows how to carry the ball and play with the ball. You understand? He said the reason why they didn't play Achimpong was he was trying to play Tosin and Badiashile because of the heights, because of the second ball duels, you know, Calvert-Lewin and Umeka, you understand? And despite of doing all that, we still lost second ball duels,
yeah.
You understand? And the most experienced and most oldest player, Tosin, was the worst player that day, making mistakes, a pro player, my bad, a Sunday league player should not be making, you understand? So when your coach is talking like that, that shows that he has pretty much given, I can just bet he gave it hot to the players.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But so, my question actually is that players, when they just coming out like that and being that honest, basically throwing players under the bus, I think that because those words he used, I think it weighs heavy. Tosin will feel it.
This,
to his bone, in a sense. You're saying,
to Chelsea, I regret to Chelsea fans that no, hold
your
up.
Rival.
Hold up. To Chelsea fans that prayed that Tosin should leave, please pray for me too. Because, I don't know, God have answered your prayer. All of them have prayed collectively. Even because Tosin will not wear this jersey anymore.
That's what it means.
It's done.
Because, for him to do that,
Chelsea.
that's dumb. But I guess my other, I'll be honest. I like how honest he was. I like when managers come out and explain their tactical, their tactics, and like tells why they did what they did, and what would be the fruits to expect from what this decision. I like when they do that. But the part where I'm kind of like about for the most part is when they kind of publicly, like almost berate their players, because I don't know.
It's a different business. The business we are in is a result based business. Last week when we beat Barcelona, Mariscal was the best coach in the world.
Yeah.
Now, he's the dumbest coach that ever lived now. You understand? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, back in the days, coaches were in control of the team. It was like the owner and the coach. You feel me? But now, it's like owner, director, this one, that one, then the coach. The thing is, when everything goes bad on match day, most times the players don't really get the feel of it. Yes. Okay, they will get it from the fans here and there, but when the results are getting bad, who's going to feel it? The coach. And the coach will lose his job. I think it's high time now that, I'm not saying constantly come out and berate and throw your players under the bus. Mm. But what I'm saying is, when you make mistakes like that, I'm sorry, please. You don't deserve protection. There are some mistakes you shouldn't make. There are some mistakes as a professional, as a Sunday league player, you should not even think of making it.
So you're saying, and I feel like
there are levels to it. There are levels to the mistakes you make. And I'm not trying to praise the boy. The boy is a Cobham graduate, but the fact is that boy would not make that mistake.
Okay, so if someone like Achi Pong makes that mistake, do you think it would have been okay for Maresca to speak about him the way he did Tosin in the press conference?
I cannot comment on if.
No. Think about it, because it seems like the is basically about the player. Because I saw people like coming for Tuchel for talking about Bellingham in press conference the way he did.
Yeah.
So, and I'm pretty sure I'll be quite shocked if it was Achepo who made that mistake, that specific mistake, and Maresca came out and berated him. Because I'm pretty sure people will be like, that's a young.
But there's a reason why there's a reason why he said it. At the presser, they asked him about experience of the squad, and he said the most experienced player, the oldest player, Tosin, made that mistake.
Yeah, he wouldn't have.
It's not like he's trying to.
If he didn't want to, he wouldn't have.
I know. Obviously, on my page, I posted Tosin too, but let's not make it look like he only called Tosin. Maresca called out everybody.
Okay.
He literally called. I watched that conference. Mm-hmm. He literally called out. He said everybody was bad that day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, the defense, the attack, everybody played bad. There was no, you understand? So he said it again at his press conference review. He said it again at his press conference preview today. Mm-hmm. The only reason why Tosin's name is getting that much attention because it was clear for, even Stevie Wonder to see that this guy made a very, very, like, a blunder of a mistake.
Yeah,
you understand?
Of course.
I'm okay with him calling Tosin out like that. I'm okay.
He came for everybody, but he said, I wish I actually.
It's not, I wish. Wish is different.
He said,
I regret.
I regret. That's that's different. I mean, see, honestly, I understand why you'd be okay. I understand you'd be okay with that. I won't lie. If I was your shoes, I'd probably be okay with it. Because I would have been, bro. I can't even explain kind of head loss.
And guys,
asked,
guys,
that was an asked out.
Let's tell them this, right?
Uh-huh.
When I was talking about Tosin, he didn't see the mistake that Tosin did. When he saw it, this guy was blowing grammar mad in my life.
I'll be honest, but I guess what he did, are we like really? Because I remember De Bruyne from Man City. I remember Mourinho coming out and like bashing him like that. And everybody go like, how would you do that? Blah, 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 blah. This is a young player, everything. So it's, I guess it's different with the young player and different with the professional player.
Yeah.
So if it's okay to...
I mean, everybody has their own style. I mean, for Maresca to literally call you out, because Maresca actually tries to defend his players. You know, he tries somewhat to defend his players.
I think he's done.
Not even Maresca, most coaches, they try to defend the players. Once they see it, once they throw you out, that means what you've done is pretty much... You can't defend it. Literally.
I'm pretty sure if Tosin still had a future in Chelsea, he wouldn't call him out. He probably wouldn't. Because what he has done is pretty much like, you're not good enough.
You're not good enough.
This player is better than you.
You're not good enough.
Yeah, you're not good enough. He's not going to play for his team again.
And I said that some guys were like laughing and stuff like that. I said I make the mistake that Tosin made, I make that mistake. When I'm playing for Bristol, I should make that mistake. I'm not a professional player. I deserve to make that mistake. So if I make that mistake that Tosin just made, that means, are you telling me that I and Tosin on the same level? I say it is my third, fourth time asking that question.
Well, his move is risky though, because assuming you guys suffer like a ridiculous amount of injuries in your center back, he might have to go back to that same Tosin that he has thrown under the bus.
I'd rather not go back to Tosin. I'm not being funny. It's just the fact that you know, there are things you see and like, you know what, let me chase this one. I don't need to, it's really not worth it.
Yeah, I mean.
You understand, but.
So you rather play an academy product at this point?
I will not rather, I will play.
All right, anyway. Do you have any more thoughts on Chelsea?
I mean, like I said, the Bournemouth game, Bournemouth-Chelsea, we know how he's going to play. Very intense. I mean, Raiola himself. And like you, I like how you pointed out how bad they've been this season. And I told you I expected it because, you know, they let the core of their team, you know, this season for profit. You know, Ouattara, Hutchinson, Kekes, even Kepa. You understand? They left the team itself pretty much go down to, like, you know, profit and all that. And it's showing now. You understand? But notwithstanding that, they still have decent players that can give a run for the money. Tyler Adams is there. Semenyo, like you mentioned, is there.
They were second in October.
Kluivert, the season started August or September, pretty much. Let's be for real, you know. And Kluivert is there. So they have decent players somewhere, but with how they will come out and play, and how they will come out and play, they'll be opening. I know one thing for sure, Palmer's going to start that game. Come out with stars that come out. I feel like Gustavo. I still feel I might get bashed for this if this video comes out. I still feel him. He will not start with James because of the Champions League game we have on Tuesday. I feel with James will play but will not start.
Why?
I feel he will probably start. Gustavo.
Are you guys at risk of not qualifying? Okay. I mean,
just to be on the safer side over there. I still have a feeling that it's going to start. Gusto. Rhys James might play, but I don't think he's going to start. Or even if he starts, he's not playing 90 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I know Palmer is going to start.
Yeah.
That I know for sure. I know that... I don't know if he's going to play Fofana and Chalobah, or he's going to play Achimpong and Chalobah. That I don't know. But I know he's going to come out guns blazing. I know he's going to win that game comfortably 3-0. I think it's a 3-0 comfortable win.
Okay,
it's a stretch. Use the word comfortable. But we're going to win that game
3-0.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well.
What's your prediction?
I mean, I said 2-2. I said, that's a fair
shot. See, we're not minding me, we're for you.
No, you know, sometimes you have to take risks. Because, you know, in all honesty, I can actually see you guys running riots.
I want to review my score line for Aston Villa last night.
No, wait. I say 2-2 is that they think it could backfire, but I don't think Bournemouth. Of course, we know Bournemouth will actually try to.
They'll come out and play.
Yes, play into Chelsea's hands for sure.
Yes,
but also it could also make for a feast. Who knows? They might score 2. You guys might score 3. It might be 3-2. But I don't see. I'll be shocked if it's like 1-0 Chelsea or 0-0.
Nah, there'll be goals in the game.
I think there'll be goals in the game. So
the thing is, when I say 3-0, we can keep clean sheets. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm trying to stretch that out. Yeah. We can keep a clean sheet. You understand?
No,
and if you look at the league game, just to go back a little bit, apart from Tosin's mistake and the first goal corner kick that they scored, Leeds had 28.6% of possession in that game.
You guys shouldn't have lost that.
That's not a game I shouldn't have. We were lethargic, but we literally gave the game away. Like I said earlier, you have to earn the right to play. And we didn't earn the right to play at Leeds at Elland Road. So, but I feel with the with Maresca, a new look Maresca, shaved everything, looking like he, you understand? I can just tell his, I look at his demeanor today at the presser today, and you can just tell that this guy really, those players don't want to mess up again. Because he literally said they were disappointing and he was surprised at the performance. So I know when Chelsea come out guns blazing, Bournemouth comes out guns blazing, it's about going to, who has the better gun to shoot or to blaze. And I think Chelsea is going to come out pretty much on top. I think 3-0. I stand on that. What's your prediction?
No worry. I don't tell you. Don't worry. See,
all right, man. Moving
let's
on.
Go with 2-2. Let's see if it works. You know, if I say I'm confident in it, I'll be lying. But
fair.
Let's see. Because I did play this thing. I played this on NBC Store Predictions.
Yeah.
Sometimes I predict scorelines. I put 2-2. So
probably a time is coming when we get bigger. We're going to have our own prediction table and everything. Maybe have more guys and stuff.
Facts.
All right, next game.
This was Leeds. Let's go to Sunderland Man City.
Man
City's home.
Okay.
In Etihad. That will be a game. Let me just start. That was my other 2-2 prediction.
Okay.
I predict 2-2 for them.
Bad guys. So. Everybody's 2-2. That's now. 2-1. Smart move. And you want to win the league. Go and win the league. Let me see.
Anyway, the defensive pairing of Sunderland, they were very, very impressive against Liverpool. I think it's Omar, what's the guy's name? Omar Asante. Omar and... bro, yo, look up that's the other guy's name. I need Ban.
Is it Ballard?
Yeah, Ballard. Yeah. Ballard was crazy against
7.2.
Ballard was crazy.
It's a bad boy.
And that guy was even better.
Sadiki?
Omar.
Oh, Omar, okay.
What is Ballard's partner?
Alderete. Yeah.
Two of them were immense against Liverpool. Yeah, so. First of all, I know City can score. I know Haaland is a beast, but those two will not be easy pickings. Haaland will probably score. I'll look like an idiot, but I feel like that the two of them, that's a solid centre back pairing from what I saw from the Liverpool game I watched. And Xhaka will be very pumped up for this game as well. He has history in Man City, so he's going to be very, very pumped up. I see City probably. They might score, but keeping Sunderland quiet for 90 minutes, I don't believe City is capable of doing that. I don't believe they're capable of doing that. Maybe they have the talent to do, but based on what I've been watching for a while, I don't. They rarely ever keep clean sheets. I think Sunderland will score, although Sunderland's success in this season has been built on home performances.
Okay.
But I think they are looking more like a threat away. Okay. These guys stand for me, right?
You ain't got to say it again. They know that.
and Liverpool, they should have won that game.
Even they should have won the United game, but they lost 2-0.
I think they just came out very naive in that game.
Yeah.
That's not against United. They know their real face. In fact, let's just delete it from this season. Because besides that game, They've stepped on every Premier League ground looking like they belong there.
Yeah.
Against City will dominate for sure. They'll probably, I'll be surprised if they don't dominate the game. Even though this City they suddenly have a penchant for sometimes letting the opposition have the ball.
Yeah.
And hitting them on transition.
Yeah.
Getting the best out of Haaland, his pace. Haaland is something else. Yeah. 100 goals, chairman. Even though I feel like we've not praised him enough for his 100.
Oh, I'm not so much. I think we need a proper episode for Haaland.
Haaland is a beast.
He's a machine, bro.
He's a machine.
He's AI.
He's broken that 100 goal dog, so he's going to give Ballard and Omar, that his last name is hard to say.
Adereti.
Adereti.
Yeah.
They run for their money. But I think they are going to...
7.2 brothers. The guys are playing that pass game, bro.
Yeah, they are very, very good. And I think Hernando will have his work cut out for him. Him will succeed. If there's anybody that will succeed, it's him. He will score. But Sunderland and Xhaka, they have something for me this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I see them get scoring against Man City and hopefully join that game. Man City have been tethering on taking L's recently. I think they are due one. Their last two games, either they put up a magnificent performance, mm-hmm. or they draw lose that game. All these things they've been doing is not sustainable. Their last two games almost look like early season Liverpool,
yeah.
where they are almost losing but finding a way to.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm being disingenuous. They were actually 5-1 ahead.
Oh.
Against Fulham.
Oh.
So they looked like they were back.
Man City, yeah.
They
okay,
looked
yeah,
like they were
yeah.
back to OCT. All of a sudden,
they backfired, yeah.
But I see if they put up the sort of defensive performance they put up this last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
they are not winning that game. And it's going to be 2-2 or the Arsenal game.
I think I can agree with you with the scoreline based mm-hmm. on the fact that you look at Sunderland, right? You look at the coach, Le Breeze. He has been mm-hmm. with them for 2 seasons now.
Yeah.
And even though I know that this Premier League team, they had to buy players.
Mm-hmm.
They spent money on this team.
They did.
It's not the team that played championship that's playing this team now.
At all.
So they changed, I think, close to over 75% of the
if
players.
If they play this way in championship, they might have probably qualified automatically.
Yeah.
So going to
playoffs, yeah. But when I look at this Sunderland team, and when I saw Xhaka when he played against Arsenal,
mm-hmm.
it took my mind all the way back to now I see why this guy was a captain at a very young age.
Yeah.
Now I see why is it Mourinho when Mourinho said when he sees Fabregas is like a coach on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
When you see Xhaka
mm-hmm.
and even Le Breeze has come out to speak highly of Xhaka, that means it makes his work easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching that Sunderland Arsenal game.
Yeah.
You can just tell that the players say they believe in the coach, but they also believe in Xhaka. So mm-hmm. Xhaka playing is like a morale booster for them naturally.
Yeah.
Because you can just tell that I was watching that game, but and then I think there was a throw-in or something, and they told the guy, no, don't throw. You go and throw. You can see him orchestrating, connecting that team, and then they are all in sync with whatever it's like he's a conductor. Mm-hmm. Like it's just and they're just complimenting him. Sadiki,
he was my captain.
Oh,
he was my captain.
Your FA. Oh, in Arsenal. Oh, but you can just see him, Sadiki. They all compliment each other, and the energy in that team is just mm-hmm. you can literally touch it. You understand? Like, and they have a clear way of playing.
Yeah.
They know when to be compact, and they are highly physical. My God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let these guys get you. I know what I'm talking about.
You
felt it
bro,
too.
Hey, 2-2. So I'm like, I collected my 2-2. Man City, take your 2-2, please. Because they are literally, it's not a surprise when they're from the same city as Newcastle.
Yeah.
They are literally.
Oh, that's the same city.
Same city, no wonder. Same team right there, bro.
My God.
Like I said before earlier, the three teams I'm worried about physically. See, Chelsea, Newcastle, Sunderland.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm Newcastle. I'm happy we won that game.
Yeah.
Sunderland, it was the same thing. They will match up to you physically.
Yeah, so...
See, Xhaka, that's what you said about Xhaka, that was so real. Like, I think, I don't know who said this, but the minute Xhaka... They were like, when Xhaka was in Arsenal, he was very temperamental.
Yeah.
Always very close
to Xhaka. We saw it.
Yeah, he was good. So
we didn't talk about how good he was because
you could get that in check.
Yeah, get in check. You have a player there.
He showed that in his last season for us.
You have a player. Yeah.
Immense. He was no longer the Xhaka...
That tree with the captain band that
like
worked
you're winning,
on the team.
Oh,
yeah.
You're worried that he's gonna get sent off,
yeah.
and you're gonna miss him. That he almost like he probably went to therapy and transformed himself.
Yeah.
He's still temperamental, but he knows how to use that positively.
Yeah. It checks his. And then I think the team pretty much they all feed off his energy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, like you see when Xhaka is playing for them, he knows when to drop deep. He knows when to push, he knows when to advance. Like, it's coming out to collect the balls in dangerous areas.
The way he strikes the ball, too.
You know, I mean, he has that. but I think what is just amusing me when I'm watching him is just that leadership quality. Yeah. Like, I know we just call anybody that just wears the captain band is a leader.
Yeah.
But Chaka, I've said Jaka or Shaka, I don't know. The way he carries it is like, this is like an exemplary... what like a leader should be like.
Yeah,
thank you. You just helped me out there, like, for real. Like, it reminds me of, like, you know, the John Terry's, the Zanetti's, the Maldini's, the Cannavaro's. Like, that is a leader right
Roy
there.
Keane.
Roy Keane, you know what I'm saying? Vieira. So, I think, and with the way they play, being compact, being physical, you know, Mukiele and his long throws. This guy was always at Arsenal every time. It's an EPL with just Arsenal review, guys. But yeah, like, you know, Mukiele with his long throws, that physical style of play, Jaka doing his thing, and that big monster of a guy, Brobbey, just doing his, just taking away the beer and rubbing everybody off. You know, it's just, and then with Man City Wolves, if there's anything that they don't want to play, it's the Sunderland team.
Yeah.
Because now they're not coming to respect you. You must earn the right to play. Mm-hmm. If you don't go and play with them physical, they will give a run for your money.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like that possession, stylish play, you know, put it, pass it here, patterns of play that Master would do. I don't think it's going to succeed with Sunderland. Yeah. They need to be really bold because they're very, very direct, Sunderland. They're actually coming at you. And they want to find every means to win you. Long throws, set piece, you know, long balls, you know, transition.
Yeah.
I mean, second balls, like, they want to go for that. So, but it's at Etihad, right?
Yes.
And so the Alan factor.
Man City will play with energy. And they are not, I don't think, in as much as the, of course, they are Guardiola and City are known for playing the more stylish, you know, possession. Style of play. They are actually quite rugged, I would say. Let's give them their league. They're not as easy to bully as, say, some teams that play the same way.
You know what? Libris is a good coach. He's a good coach. And I feel like it would take notice of Foden's form and the Haaland factor. They have a good keeper in Roofs. Yeah. They have a good keeper. I think this would be a surprise. This one in that this is a surprise one for me. I see them having the game 2-1.
I was thinking
it's a surprise. It's a big surprise.
No, we just okay.
The reason why I'm saying that is because of the fact that they're too physical, man. And Man City defense is not convincing for me. It's just not convincing.
You can
stay in your game, and then hold Haaland in check. I think you can get something out of Man City.
Holding Haaland in check is the thing. But Newcastle in the Premier League has been Haaland's worst team to play against.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes. So that's why I said he's kind of like only one goal against Newcastle.
Oh, really?
There is worst opponent in EPL. And Sunderland.
They have the same kind of fish, the same beer, and the same fries.
Yeah, the same. So that's why I cited earlier that defensive pairing.
Yeah.
I think they'll give Haaland the run for his money. But I'll admit.
The Haaland factor will be there.
Yeah.
You understand? Again, but they won't let. I don't think.
I don't think
Sunderland will come and let you want to do that.
Yeah.
Foden playing 10, Checky do his thing. Tijani. No.
Against,
it's not. I don't know. Haaland factor will work. Okay.
It didn't work against Newcastle.
Okay. In every Superman, it's a crypto. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is, that stylish, that play of Foden in 10, picking up form, Checky doing the scene, Tijani playing moment, they won't, but since it's Etihad,
that's one factor, it will always give you that advantage. I'll be very, very surprised if Sunderland walk up to Etihad and completely bully.
That's why I said, it won't be a bully, but it will be easy for City. That's why I said that would be a surprise game because City don't want you, what they don't want you to do is come at them physical. They don't want that. They don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to come and play possession football with them.
Mm-hmm.
That means without the ball, try and win the ball, then them they can tip tap you. But no, now that they are ready to play compact.
Or they want you to, or they expect you to just sit back.
That's not what I'm saying. No, someone I read, they don't play. Their compact style of football is very, very structural and very, 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 very advanced in the world. But they're not staying like a. It's not the Samaladize pack the bus
Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, no,
same,
hell
no.
Nah. Yeah. They have people that. That's why, the first I said physical players. They have a Sadiki. They have a Burberry. Burberry doesn't mind running back to support in the midfield.
They have
Jack Asa in the tempo. Yeah. Thank you. And that Sadiki guy, I know him now because, not even against Chelsea, but against Congo, Nigeria.
Yeah.
That's why I know that Sadiki guy. That guy is a horse.
Yeah.
So they will chase you, bro. They will chase you. And then they have that Atletico guy, Ronaldo, very, very good, fullback also. And it's a surprise one for me. That's why I'm going for Sunderland. It's going to surprisingly pick it up 2-1.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a good time to go to
Liverpool. Our Santa Claus. you go, you pick your place, and you go home.
their Christmas started a long time ago.
Bro, do you know?
Don't enter Christmas. Their own don't dare.
Bro, if there's anyone that Alistair should give a peck, it should be Chiesa.
Nah, Chiesa.
That was the last. You know what? Just start us. Go with it. Yeah. Go with Liverpool.
One thing in my mind right now, like one thing I'm just remembering that you see that phase of play where Van Dijk went forward and Sunderland almost literally scored Liverpool, but Chiesa ran all the way.
That was what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, all the way back.
Yeah, that was the last look of the game.
Bro,
like it was.
That's someone playing for the badge. That's literally the most Liverpool. Like it's like a Liverpool
bro.
That's kind of like developed the football skills and is playing for Liverpool like that.
When I
all the way from Italy,
bro. When I see Chiesa playing like that, I feel sad because we all saw that. Euros, that Chiesa's Euros when it was the Chiesa.
He's
been
unlucky with injuries. For
you know, but. But him doing that for the team, you can just tell that. I just think he did it for the coach, man. I think he did it for Slot, man. I think it's for Slot. I think it's like.
Slot doesn't start him.
I'm like, Slot, now that Salah is leaving, I have saved you. Yeah, start playing me now. I think because you see the distance he ran. Bro, that's 3 points. That's the 3 points right there.
Yeah.
Because that's a goal.
You could also say that he's not. There's something that losing does to you. Losing is a very, very bad habit. That once you start losing, sometimes it takes a lot of mental strength and willpower to get you out of there.
Mm-hmm.
The way Liverpool has been losing consistently, you can see even those players that look like they were on form any in the season, they all hold their shoulders like down. They are all bereft of confidence. Gravenberch. There was a point earlier in the season saying, Gravenberch is the only player still playing well.
Mm-hmm.
The dude has his form is on
the other 7.3 last game though.
He tried. Yeah. This is not the Gravenberch
issue
from last season.
The issue.
Let me say something.
Yeah.
See, you can see all of them are being affected.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where they were saying Konate was using Van Dijk was bad. That's not true anymore. And from what I've been saying, even they've been blaming Konate. Even that game, the two games ago where Konate apparently was the worst player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those mistakes, you could see Van Dijk not even helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Van Dijk, there might be a factor here where age might actually have caught up to him. And he now needs players to help him out a lot more than back in the days. Van Dijk's form is bad.
I think it's 34 now.
Yeah, he doesn't have. I don't think he has legs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
His legs might have gone. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's depression. Maybe depression affects you physically.
I think the legs play a factor. 34 is not in this modern world.
It's not easy.
It's old, yeah.
So I think he needs the help of his teammates now more than he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's part of the problem. He's front and center part of the problem right now for Liverpool defensively.
That's a bit harsh, but okay.
I think he's part of the problem. I think I can see him not. This guy is Konate is having to do more, even though he's not doing well. I think he doesn't have confidence. And the amount of effort he has to put to cover up for Van Dijk.
You think the Real Madrid transfer saga affected him so?
Konate definitely is his form is under the table. That for sure. But I see Van Dijk as well.
Mm-hmm.
His form is very, very bad. He's not even... I think he plays too safe defensively that he's not even helping, like... instead of spending time like throwing your hands up and blah blah blah, mm-hmm. you'll see time where he needs to run, he needs to cover up, but mm-hmm. he will not maybe commit, and he will be too it makes it easy for mm-hmm. attackers a lot. And then Konate now overcommits and now leaves too much space mm-hmm. behind. Like, you see that happen a lot. Like, mm-hmm. Konate is overdoing it and making mistakes, and Van Dijk is underdoing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Van Dijk definitely needs some help, both physically and mentally. I don't think he's at his confident best right now, obviously.
Okay.
Kekes as well. Kekes is... No, you know, normally when you come into a big team, it's easier, like, you need some time to adapt. You're especially for a club as small as Bournemouth and moving to a club as size of Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's almost unfortunate that he's coming to join Liverpool when they are like this. That's why I don't want to blame him too much. You can clearly see he's a young guy. He's trying to, you know, make it happen. Mm-hmm. Everybody around him is struggling. This is the time where you would need the helping hand of the senior player
around you, to help you get better. Yeah.
Not Van Dijk screaming at you for not doing your job. Mm-hmm. He's young, he's new. This is his first huge team.
Yeah.
This is the same thing I could say for Isak. Even though I know Isak won't get that much slack because they bought him for 100 something million.
Mm-hmm.
But Isak as well if needs help. I'll credit Wirtz. Wirtz to me was their best player.
He is their best
in
player
in their last game. So this is because why? One thing, if you watch Wirtz in Leverkusen, if I'm being honest, I did not expect him to struggle to the manner he did, because he always seemed to me like almost like he in the same level, maybe not in the same level, same degree, like all these Cucurella, Bruno, mm-hmm. they are nasty. They're not soft. He's not like what's his name in Tottenham? Javi Simons. He seemed like an annoying, always like egging at you and everything. Yeah, he seems like a bratty kind of player. Like he has that nastiness about him.
Yeah.
You go into, even though he's a techie player, you go into nasty tackles.
Yeah.
He looked like that, like a character, someone that has some bit of personality to him.
Yeah.
So I did not expect him to be as, then again, he's a whole new country, mm-hmm. and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm not surprised that his performance looks better.
Mm-hmm.
I personally did not expect. Trust me, if he joined Liverpool last season when they were good, I think he would have been an amazing
good
player.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
I think
good
he would
point,
have been an amazing player. I think the fact that everybody's struggling
What you just said, I wrote it down on my preview paper. I would like to see it.
Yeah, I love the fact that he's starting to do better. Even though mm-hmm. I don't love Liverpool, and I long may their struggles continue. But I like Wirtz, and I'm like loving the fact that at least he's looking. Like, even though he didn't get any goal and assist,
mm-hmm.
I was so sad when they took that goal away from him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 13 or 12 now.
Yeah. Well, in my heart, he scored.
Mm-hmm.
Because that move was sleek.
I didn't see the goal.
Oh, yeah. He kind of, like, shimmy, dropped his shoulder, like, went to a couple of players and tried to shoot, and he ricocheted up or defended and went to the post. So I think it might have been going out, except then I was going to curve. He was probably going to call, but VAR did not catch that. But yeah, he's amazing. Salah will probably come back for this game.
The first time in his career that he's been benched 2 times in Liverpool.
I think he'll start this game for sure. But Leeds are on a high right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that they might be on too much of a high. They might still be celebrating beating Chelsea.
Elano is on a frenzy right now. Bro. They on a.
They might still be celebrating the win against Chelsea. I don't expect Liverpool to keep losing. So my prediction will be, I think Salah will be back. I think Wirtz will finally score.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say 2-1. Just one goal for the Leeds people.
My Liverpool, Elland Road. My issue with Liverpool is this, Last season, when they won the league,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a simple question. What was Liverpool's style of play last season?
I didn't see that much of a change. The only thing I would say, maybe they were more patient.
What was Arne Slot's style of play last season?
I think it was the same as before.
You know what? You're just trying to give him grace.
Yeah.
I can't even come out and say, this is Arne Slot's style of play. Is it possession-based football? Is
okay,
it,
I'll say one thing. I don't think their press was as aggressive as the two seasons before.
That's what I'm trying to say. They press, but it's not the German metal club press football. Yeah. It's not highline football like as, you know, maybe highline, I don't even know. But it's not counter football. It's not like, is it set piece? Like, it's that. It's pretty much, you know when they ask you a question, they just put on M-E, all of the above. And I'm like, why they won the league last season is because, first things first, most of the teams were not their best last season.
Yeah.
Secondly, the Salah factor. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, that they were putting the individually they were effective. Because you see them play games and you see the game 35 minutes, they're losing 1-0. Check back 78 minutes, 2-1. Game over.
They had that 2-1
for like countless of games. 2-1. 3-2, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 2-1, 2-1. Like, they would, like, and guess who's doing that for them? Salah. That's why they did the Salah factor.
Gabo.
And most of the players were pretty much effective. And I like when you said, if Florent Wirtz was in that team last season, Florent Wirtz, he would perform. Or not even he would perform, he would, we'll see the outputs and the goals and the assists.
Yeah.
Now, my team with Liverpool right now, as of right now, is don't even think about scoring. And I think Maresca. I think Arne Slot is trying to. I think it's a little too late right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it too late? I don't know. I mean, when it comes to like going for the league, it's too late right now because of the numbers. But the fact is, as of this moment, don't even think about scoring, bro. Close up shop. Liverpool are conceding too much.
Yeah.
For a team like Liverpool, on the back end of winning the league. I think I saw a stats. I think they've considered. Is it
the worst defenses of the Premier League?
I think they're in top three.
Yeah.
But I think is this the seven goals or I don't know. But they have a very awful stats. Is it conceding or something? They need to first of all close up shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what Arne Slot is doing now. He said the last game they didn't put inside. They played Szoboszlai there. Which I think by far is that if Szoboszlai gets bad, it's done for Liverpool right now.
Szoboszlai is their best player this
season. You understand? And that's how I feel like right now, just close up shop. Don't even, let's forget about the league, forget about the season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just save face. Let's build from saving face. Mm-hmm. Let's us now work on not conceding.
Yeah.
If they play 0-0 tomorrow, I think that's a good result for them, if you ask me.
If they keep a clean sheet,
I think that's more important than even them trying to even score or get a win. They can build up from that because I just feel like the confidence in that team is dropping week in, week out, the more they concede goals. And the sloppy goals, man. Look at the game against Ajax. Was it Ajax or PSV? I think it was PSV.
Mm-hmm.
That they lost as if is it 4-1 or something. The Champions League game.
You're
like, why is it Liverpool team conceding four goals like this? And the manner in which they're conceding. It's not just conceding, but the manner in which they're conceding. You know, that just says a lot about the defense of that team, not just individually, but collectively.
Mm-hmm.
You can just tell players don't want to actually run. I think that's why they're benching Salah now. Because last season, he could stay up front, score the goals, no problem. Yeah. But right now,
he's not delivering.
The goals are not coming in and he's not running back. So that means that you're playing with a minus one.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, and also the Florent Wirtz factor also. Now, when is a good player? Is a very good player.
Yeah.
But is Florent Wirtz a 130 million or 140 million pound player? Hell nah. I told my friend the same thing the first week that deal was done. The first match he played, that was against, Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this guy is not a 140, 130. I told him, and I'm going to, you know what, when I did this clip, I want to send it to him personally. via email, Instagram, everywhere, you will see it. Like, the pressure on from Vets right now is, the team is not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
140 million pounds standing on your, literally on your head. You haven't scored a goal. You have done your 007 and it's still counting.
Mm-hmm.
There's pressure on that guy. That guy needs help. That guy right there is literally screaming for help.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 6.8 last match.
Boy,
he's playing. It's not about being harsh. It's just reality.
Yeah.
Is he playing well? He's playing well. But the fact is, the amount, the tag price on him, the price tag on him actually, the players playing bad, the team is considering. You know, it's just too much on that guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I feel like that factor. Now the question now is, every time I'm slotting, I'm thinking, yes, it's playing well, but is it delivering?
Okay. But you're saying this.
And then also, you have Alexander Isak. I know you're getting there, right? You have Alexander Isak, which, in all fairness,
okay. This
is someone that was trying to get fit during the season.
Okay.
Players get fit. That's why it's a preseason. Most players, they get fit in preseason. All players, they get fit in preseason. Physically fit and also match fit in preseason. Alexander Isak is just trying to get match fit during the season. Week 10, week 11, week 12. As of week 5, week 6 or 7, I think he got injured. So that's how I've seen Isak now. And the question is, do you bench a £130 million player on the bench? Then leave Ekitike. Because if we're talking football here, Ekitike should be the one starting.
Yeah, but the question just called a mad goal that they said brought back memories of Alexander Isak. Yeah. Is he still about fitness at this point? Because
I mean,
14 games.
I'm saying build up to Liverpool's problems up to now.
Yeah, okay.
You understand?
And
I feel for Slots because you can just tell, like I said back in the days, it was the owner and the coach. Now it's owner, directors, and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You can tell he wants to play Kitiki, but do you put a £130 million on the bench? No. Mm-hmm. So when you put all this together, this is pretty much, you know, the foundation of Liverpool's problems this season. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to play against a Leeds team, which are pretty much on the brinks or on the high right now.
Yeah.
You understand? The beats. you know, but despite that, Leeds will come out and play. Even though they'll come out and play, but I still Liverpool in that game. Despite all that going, because based on the fact that it shouldn't be that bad where you cannot beat Leeds. It's bad right now, but it shouldn't be that bad where you cannot beat Leeds. You understand?
Yeah.
So I think I see them winning that. I see a scrappy 2-1 win. It's going to be really scrappy, but it should be a scrappy 2-1 win. I see them winning that game.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I was going to say something earlier about Gravenberch. I would say to give him some credit last season. I think part of why he was had a good season was him moving back a little bit to the six. So that was part of
it. And McAllister was really playing well last season too.
They were a very good pair.
Yeah, very good pair, him and McAllister. Yeah, but right now, that is, bro.
But anyway, this is a very... When you mentioned that Liverpool are bad, but... They're not bad enough to see them losing to me.
I don't see them there. No, not that bad.
Takes me back to when Isak looked like the old Isak against West Ham. They played really well against West Ham. Really, really well against West Ham. Mm. And I was like, is this Liverpool coming back or West Ham just being West Ham?
West Ham, yeah.
Now, this takes me to our next game. Man U versus Wolves.
Oh, my days.
Bro,
you know, we need to get to Bay here to talk about this man, because they want to really explode himself, bro.
West Ham were bad enough to trick some people to believe that Liverpool, looked really, really good, like last in Liverpool against them.
Yeah.
The same West Ham.
West United.
United. In Old Trafford.
Took points from them. That's football for you, my man.
Honestly, some people that might have been good enough to sack Amorim, but they lost to Grimsby. So it's not you can't go lower.
There's no barometer anymore to measure it anymore.
But Wolves and that iteration of West Ham, they're even worse than
West Ham.
If United don't win Wolves,
Wolves are terrible, man. Wolves are bad, man.
If United don't win Wolves,
that's nasty. They don't win Wolves, bro.
You think it's sacking? Because, bro, come on. What could you possibly do to... It's not if they don't win Wolves. The West Ham was bad enough.
I'm not trying to think about it.
If they actually don't win
Wolves, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Bro, I actually thought they'd win West Ham. I'm being honest.
No, the West Ham game, I left it open.
God.
I left it open. I mean... No. I left it open.
I'll be honest. I left it open. They win West Ham was because of I saw like Liverpool versus West Ham.
I left it open because of the coach. Because of Nuno. Because
Nuno was there against Liverpool.
I mean, but it's an inconsistent United team.
But United and Liverpool are not that far.
I know, but no, that's just this season. But I'm saying, United, over the years, they've shown that they're very inconsistent.
That's true. No, let's be honest. I mean,
so that's why they lost to Grimsby.
But Liverpool this season too, if they lose to Grimsby at this point, Liverpool had lost West Ham, I wouldn't have been surprised. Mm-hmm. But the way I would not have been surprised they lost West Ham. But the way they dominated that West Ham game, I was like, yeah, we're not even on the same level as these guys. It's what kind of told me, okay, yeah, West Ham might be very, very bad.
Football
has a way of making us lose.
This is a quick one. I just feel like
they'll be Wolves.
This is never what's a preview. It's not preview worthy. Yeah, talking about Man U, Wolves. They're gonna win. They'll be. If it's otherwise, then I feel like we just out of the league, just relegate. You know what? Wrap it up. It's over. You understand?
That's what I'm saying. If they don't beat Wolves, because Wolves are worse than West Ham.
When you think of Wolves, who is literally in Wolves? Literally nobody in Wolves, literally.
Yeah,
they've. Out of me,
zero wins, right?
Let's try.
Zero wins, bro.
I know it's zero wins. Let's not see how bad they're losing.
Yeah. Nah, at this point, man, if they can't, I know, they're the owner. What's his name again? Remind me.
Bro, they've been losing since October 18.
This guy said, what's his name? Man U's their main spokesperson, their main owner.
Oh, Man U's owner?
The Bologna guy.
Fuck. He's not Glazier.
No.
Jim Ratcliffe?
Jim Ratcliffe. Say Amorim has 3 years, whatever.
They'll become owners of the stadium. If you get that bad, they'll let you go.
That draw with West Ham and they lose to Wolves. That
3 years would be divided by.
Bro, it might be. Bro, the mutiny. Even though I know they've had a lot of like crazy results, but with these two words, I think that would be crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The real question of that game is, does Amaru now start planning towards AFCON?
For Ahmad
and Mbeumo.
Part of Ahmad.
Does he start planning towards it?
In my opinion.
Or does he know what? No, let's get the win to keep the to build up the teams.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like, if there's any game to start planning for AFCON, it should be this game.
No, but the problem is that he's not in position to do that. Yeah. He needs the wins.
There's no bench.
He can't lose to Wolves. The only one he can lose is Wolves. So.
And you know what? You know what came to my mind right now? I need a United fan to ask him. What is the problem with Amaru and Kobbie Mainoo? Why doesn't he believe Mainoo can start?
Personally, I don't think Mainoo is what you want. And first of all, he's not out of position. He's awful. He needs a lot of learning to do out of position.
So I say Mainoo cannot play this system 3-4-3.
Probably can't. I said they need more midfielders. I see his point. If I'm being honest, I see his point.
It's a good one for Man United.
Out of possession, I don't think Mainoo is the best. He has shown his
out of possession. Hell yeah, I know that for sure. Yeah,
that's probably why he doesn't.
And also, I get what you're saying. And also, out of possession, that's Bruno United's major
Bruno
problem.
Bruno is also not a good person, but he cannot do without that. What Bruno gives you
on the ball. Yeah.
About that Mainoo one is not really an issue. Amorim plays a lot of. You play FM, right?
Yeah.
He plays a lot of players. Not in their best position, or using them in a way that they're not. See, in my opinion, Dalot is not really a wing back, but he plays like a wing back. Ahmad is probably a right winger, but he plays as a right wing back.
Yeah.
Bruno is probably a 10 or even in Portugal, he plays on the left side or like left winger, but he plays as this thing. So he's forcing the player, like forcing them into his own style of play. He's not really playing.
The thing about that is. You know, wins gives team or the players that boost confidence. They are not winning. There's no consistent win like
that. But it's going to be hard to consistent. So these guys are not playing in natural positions for the most part. At this point, he has bought a bunch of these players, so which is kind of weird.
I understand how United fans are feeling. There's no excuse for Amorim now. You've had a preseason. They've spent. Is it close to 200 or 300?
They spend good money.
As
much money as any of the big
boys. So there's no. Amorim doesn't have any excuse. But regardless of what I want to even want to say, I feel like United Wolves, you should win Wolves. You should have a comfortable 3-1 against Wolves.
You played on the pitch, safe.
You should have it. You should have
it. To win.
You should win Wolves. It should be 3-1.
My prediction for that game is...
Man, it's 3-1. You should win 3-1.
I was going to say 3-1. I'll say 2-0.
2-0? Yeah. Okay. I'll say 2-0. Fair enough.
I don't know where Wolves can score goal.
Fair enough.
I'll say Man, you win 2-0. If Man, you lose this... I don't know, I just feel like seeing Man, you lose. That's what I'm saying. But no, 2-0 is my honest take.
What do you think will be the... should I say the best player in all these games we just mentioned now? Okay, you can call out. I think Palmer for me. I think Palmer is ready.
If I say Palmer 2-2, if I say 2-2, there's no work.
I think Palmer is ready to do, but 3-0, bro. Good to go.
Okay, I'll say Gyökeres. Gyökeres has not had it. Listen.
Gyoko? Not Merino. Okay, I want to hear this one. Let's hear this one, guys. Redo me that.
Gyökeres should... Actually, you're right, though. But I think Gyökeres when we starting, actually, because... Yeah, I mean, Merino stayed last game. Stayed last two games. Maybe I'm trying to rest him and start Gyökeres.
Surprise results this weekend.
Surprise results?
Yeah.
City losing, City drawing 2-2 is a surprise result for many people, but not to me.
I think I said mine was. I think it was City.
Yeah, you say City.
City.
But yeah,
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
All right, take us home.
All right, guys, it was a beautiful pod today, and make sure you like.
Yes,
comments, give us your opinions, and tell us when we're talking whack. Make sure you subscribe to Soccer Takes with AK and to Five Aside, and also turn on your notifications because we do this weekly.
Also, just to add, I see you guys, or I'll say we see you guys, messages to join the pod. We are working on some things right now, and I'm still pretty much new. But we're working on some things, and once it's pretty much the structure is there, we're gonna have more guys and more variety of content and episodes to talk about the games.
Yeah, we have a lot in store for you guys.
A lot in store, man.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, man.
So thank you for our side. Thanks to AK. Peace out.
Go Five Aside. Hey. Go Five Aside. Come on.